Say you're enjoying a quiet night at home, and suddenly police barricade your street, guns drawn, an armored SWAT team pounds on your door, all because of a malicious hoax by someone in another state or even another country. It's called swatting, and it's dangerous, hard to trace, and even tougher to prosecute. And it's become so prevalent that Massachusetts Representative Catherine Clark is sponsoring a federal bill called the Interstate Swatting Hoax Act. And just this past weekend, at home in Melrose, she became the latest swatting victim in Massachusetts. Representative Clark described what it was like when we spoke with her earlier today.
You know, Sunday night was a typical end-of-the-weekend night. I was relaxing, watching television, and we noticed that there were a lot of bright lights on the house. And after a few minutes, I decided to go out and investigate. And when I went out onto our front porch, I saw that there were many police officers, cruisers were cutting off our street on both ends, and that there were officers with rifles on our front lawn. And I was immediately approached by two officers who said that, you know, were checking that everything was okay in our house because they had had a report of an active shooter.
Now, Representative Clark, if I may just jump in here for a second. So
sure.
So it sounds like it was obviously a very intense scene just outside your door. When you were approached by those officers, I mean, were they in, you know, their SWAT team gear?
They weren't. This was, a police response, not the actual SWAT team. But to see those long guns out on your front yard, my two younger sons had just gone to bed, and there was that moment where you don't know what's going on. And it was a scary moment. And when the officers told me that there had been a call, then I knew that I had been a victim of swatting.
Right. Now, when they said that there were reports of an active shooter, were they responding to a call saying, claiming that there was an active shooter at your house?
Yes. So the call actually said that there had been multiple gunshots fired, there were victims, and there was an active shooter at our home.
I see. So what did you tell them that convinced them, no, that it's all a false alarm?
Well, I think part of the advantage that I had with the police was that we had told them that once we had filed this legislation, this was a possibility. So I am very grateful for their professional and immediate response because they have to take these calls seriously. But I think that when they saw myself and my husband were out there, they, you know, very quickly de-escalated. But not everybody has that advantage. Most people have never heard of swatting, and it never occurs to them that someone would call in such a dangerous fake emergency for the purpose of bringing harm to their family.
Now, for those who don't know, I mean, this phenomenon of swatting is essentially someone maliciously makes a phone call to local law enforcement claiming, as they did in your case, that, you know, there's an active shooter or a bomb threat or something, and that activates this very strong law enforcement response. The original caller almost always uses technology to mask the source of the call. So
right.
Do you yet know who did this to you?
We don't. There is an active investigation going on. But it was the call was made using an automated voice, which, you know, the police found very odd. But it is often people who are sophisticated about how to use technology to mask their identity. And as you said, the dangerous part of this is that they specifically call in events hoping to get an armed police response.
There are so many concerns here. One of them is, of course, that this is a waste of police resources. It's very costly. And there's the possibility that things could go wrong and someone could get injured, whether it's a police officer or, you know, an innocent person who the hoax is being played on. So, I mean, did you get a better understanding of the risks and the dangers whenever this happens now?
Absolutely. I mean, we knew from stories from families and individuals that this had happened to, And we've had responses where, you know, children are the ones who were home at the time, and a parent trying to protect their child if they saw, you know, just flashlights in the backyard, as one family saw, which turned out to be police. But when the dad went charging out the back of his house to see what was going on, he didn't know that was police. And that incident could have quickly gone very badly. Mm-hmm. We've had people suffer heart attacks because having the police presence coming in through their front door has triggered a huge medical emergency. So these are situations that we take seriously and the police do. And as you said, there is a cost to this. Those responses are expensive. And we've had police departments say responding to these hoaxes cost between $1,000 to $100,000, depending on, you know, what the circumstances are. And most of our police departments are really strapped for resources. That's why I filed the legislation to criminalize this specific behavior.
Right. That's the Interstate Swatting Hoax Act. So just let me ask you, like, say the act had actually been law when this had happened to you on Sunday. Given the fact that the people making these hoax calls are pretty sophisticated users of technology, I mean, what would the Interstate Swatting Hoax Act have done to prevent that?
Right now, if you called in a bomb threat, that would be something that we could prosecute. But we don't really have a law that covers this particular activity that is really we've seen pick up in use and prevalence over the last 18 months to 2 years. So what we're hoping is that once we do have a prosecution where people are responsible for paying back the costs of these responses, as well as the potential for a sentence if there is actual harm that is done. So we hope that will have a deterrence factor as we have some prosecutions of people. Hmm. But of course, we have to find them first and, you know, they have to be convicted.
Right. You know, I've read that in a lot of these cases, once it's discovered that it's a hoax, there isn't really an investigation that's done. But in your case, since you're a member of Congress, I mean, is there a federal investigation into who made that original call going on now?
Yes. So the FBI is working on that. And, you know, it's part of a pattern of cases, not only my case, but looking at a number of these that we have had occur in Massachusetts in just the last few weeks.
Yeah. Well, Catherine Clark represents Massachusetts' 5th District. On Sunday, she was the victim of a swatting hoax at her home in Melrose. Representative Clark, thank you so very much for talking with us, and we're glad that you and everyone came out the other end of this experience safe and sound.
Oh, thank you so much, Magda.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk with the director of Jim, the James Foley Story, a new documentary that airs on HBO. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.